Blog Talk Radio.
All right. This is Liberty Lisa, and you are listening to The Truth Train. Tonight, I'll be talking about how I cured my brown recluse spider bite. Yes, that's right. Just happened a few days ago, and 4 days to be exact, and I'm not in the hospital. Nope. I was able to do a home-based cure, and you can do it too. I'm going to roll out the intro, and we'll get right to the show. Here we are tonight on the Truth Train, and again, the name of this show is How I Cured My Brown Recluse Bite. Let me tell you the story. It was the evening of the 20th. I fell asleep on the couch. I normally don't do that, but on occasion I will, and I woke up in the morning, and my ankle was like throbbing. I didn't know what it was, and I looked down, and I had a spider bite. At first, I didn't think much of it, but a few hours passed, and it started growing and getting bigger and itching and hurting, and it looked much like the picture that I used for the promo of the show. That's not actually my picture, but it's very similar. I spent some time on the internet looking for one that looked similar to mine, and that's what it looked like. So it was about maybe an inch high and itching and hurting, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, whatever this was bad. It's not just a normal, like, a mosquito bite that's just going to go away. And as time went on, the symptoms got progressively worse. It got larger and more painful, and it started freaking me out. So I started researching online, and when I was researching online, of course, there's always people saying, yeah, use honey, use garlic, use charcoal, use oils, and I was thinking through what I know as far as a natural cure is concerned, and I know that honey will prevent an infection, and I know that activated charcoal will pull out toxins. So I thought, maybe what I'll do is put some activated charcoal in some honey and put it on this, and maybe that'll help. So I did that for several hours, and I pulled it off. And, you know, it did look a little bit less angry, but it wasn't going anywhere. It's still a huge bump. And so I knew that I had to take some serious action. Of course, most people would probably just go to the hospital, you know, with a situation like that. But I hate hospitals, and I don't believe that they actually have access to a lot of cures. You know, they're trained by pharmaceutical companies, and that's pretty much what they offer, cut, poison, and burn. And I only go to the hospital if I absolutely have to. I went to the hospital recently for a car accident, and and then once for surgery, where I basically had no choice. So anyway, so I knew I had to do something drastic, and I continued to search and search and search. And finally, I found somebody who'd made a comment on a post saying, you know, it used to be well known that you can use electricity on any kind of venom bites. And I thought, really? And the guy was saying, you know, this is something that's been dissuaded by the FDA. It's shameful. People are losing limbs due to these things, and they don't have to. It's real simple. Just use electricity. And I thought, wow, okay, so I really need to research this. So I started researching online electricity and venom. And I came across several sites. I read everything that they had to say. Essentially, well, one of the things that was interesting to me is I posted it in my promo here. Hold on a sec. Someone's asking for the number. All right, let's see. Okay, sorry. Someone was asking for the number. It's in the promo, but I guess they didn't see it. Anyway, so I was going through, you know, electricity and venom, Googling it. And one of the things that came up, which was really interesting, is I believe it was in 1986, the New York Times had wrote an article about shock therapy. So I'm going to go ahead and read that article for you. This is published August 5th, 1986. The Doctor's World, New Shock Therapy for Snake Bites. A chat in a London laboratory between an American missionary physician who practices in the Amazon and two tropical disease experts has led to a new electric shock therapy that saves the lives of snake bite victims, but that defies scientific explanation. The treatment is delivered through modifications of what are popularly known as stun guns. It comes in the form of 4 to 5 high voltage, low current electric shocks. Each is painful and lasts 1 or 2 seconds. The shocks are given about 5 to 10 seconds apart and are applied as close as possible to the site of the bites of the snakes and such venomous insects as scorpions and ants. In 34 cases where there was evidence of venomous bites that had penetrated the skin of the limbs, the current was applied within about a half an hour. None of the usual serious medical complications developed, and none of the patients died. The researchers said in a report on what has become a revolutionary treatment. Also, the pain of the poisonous bites disappeared within 15 minutes. According to the report in the July 26 issue of The Lancet, a leading medical journal published in London. The missionary physician and the tropical disease experts reported on treatment of the 34 patients in Ecuador. The patients did not receive the usual anti-venom therapy for snake bites, one of the authors of the report said in an interview. Venoms can produce damage very quickly. 7 bite victims who refused the electric shock therapy suffered complications such as swelling, bleeding, shock, kidney failure, and 2 needed life-saving amputations. Although the biting snake could not be identified in all 41 cases, the authors believe that most bites were by small pit vipers similar to the water moccasin and copperhead of North America. Bites by such snakes tend to cause destruction of tissue in the area surrounding the bite, leading to the loss of a finger or part of a limb. Larger snakes in the Amazon area can be even more dangerous, but more research is needed to determine if the jolts of electricity will work against venoms that damage the central nervous system. Most astonishing to the author was that the jolts of electricity were successful even after serious symptoms had already developed. Two additional patients suffered intense pain and swollen limbs from the viper bites. Although they were not treated with electric shocks until 2 hours after the bites, they were relieved of pain within 30 minutes. Their symptoms did not progress and both recovered with no serious lasting damage. We do not understand that, and it is very hard to come up with a good scientific hypothesis to account for the change, said one of the authors, Dr. Jeffrey F. Williams, an expert in tropical diseases at Michigan State University in East Lansing. Although other physicians said they would consider the treatment experimental until confirmatory reports were published, doctors in three other countries have used it successfully, according to the Lancet report. The technique's greatest potential is in snake-infested areas with limited healthcare facilities. In eastern Amazon jungles of Ecuador, according to an earlier report, 4% of deaths are caused by snake bites, and half the men of the Waruni tribe suffered more than one snake bite. Because a shock treatment can be applied with electricity generated by such simple devices as outboard motors, power lawnmowers, reports of the therapy have brought inquiries from American military officials and oil company executives who see the potential of including stun guns and first aid kits for troops and workers in snake-infested jungles and tropical rainforests. Beyond the natural role of electricity in governing the rhythm of the heart and nervous system activity, doctors have been harnessing electricity to play an increasing role in the practice of medicine. They have long used electrocardiograms and brainwave tests called electroencephalograms and other tests to diagnose ailments. In treatment, doctors have little difficulty understanding why jolts of electricity can be effective in resuscitation efforts and in converting abnormal heart rhythms into normal ones. Yet doctors have no explanation for the relief that electroshock therapy can bring many depressed and mentally disturbed patients. More recently, doctors have used lithotripter machines to provide jolts of electricity to break up kidney stones, avoiding major surgery. Orthopedic surgeons apply electric currents to help some broken bones heal. Electric shock therapy for snake bites had its origins in part in the London discussion between the three authors of the report. Dr. Williams recalled how surprised he and Dr. Charles D. McKenzie of the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine were when, during a chat in Dr. McKenzie's laboratory 2 years ago, the subject somehow turned to venoms, and Dr. Ronald H. Gurdian, the missionary physician in Ecuador, described his experiments with the electric shock for snake bites. Dr. Williams and Dr. Gurdian, that's what it is, I guess, described the notion widespread in Ecuador that electricity was a therapy for snake bites. He said snake bite victims try to get an engine in order to run a wire carrying electricity from its coil into the area of the bite. This folklore also led him to overcome his skepticism about a newspaper report of an Illinois farmer who applied high-voltage, low-amperage direct shocks to the site of bee stings to prevent the severe reactions he usually experienced. Though enormous potential exists for clinicians who to make valuable contributions to medicine, particularly those who practice in remote geographic areas, Most have great difficulty in doing so because they neither have the time nor the training to write up their cases in a scientific manner. In this case, all three doctors knew that injections of antivenoms would prevent death or injury in snake bite cases where the biting snakes could be identified and when the antivenoms were available. The problem is that people living in a jungle often get bitten 4 hours canoe ride from anywhere where they might have an antivenom, Dr. Williams said. He said he and Dr. McKenzie encouraged Ron to pull together his patient records and to collect evidence that it was good enough to build a story around. Dr. Guderian did just that. Then Dr. Williams and Dr. McKenzie paid him a visit in Ecuador in the hospital Vozandas in Quito. And at that clinic in Zapalo Grande in the northwestern Ecuador, when Dr. Williams saw the treatment firsthand, he said he realized it was a first aid measure that worked better than anything else. The biggest mystery is why the electric shock therapy works against snake bites. At first, the group thought it might be because the jolts produced severe muscular spasm that restricted blood flow, preventing the spread of the venom in the body. But favorable results among people who had already suffered severe systemic symptoms, including shock, strongly argue against that theory, Dr. Williams said. Also, he said that the amperage is too low to give a cauterizing effect. Dr. Williams said that he had reviewed the entire scientific literature on the chemical makeup of venoms and found that they are very complex, some consisting of up to 10 toxic substances. It's not a simple toxic effect, and it's hard to understand how something like electricity can have an effect on such a wide range of processes. Just doesn't make sense right now. Now, the research must move to laboratories, he said, because it's hard to justify too much experimentation on victims in the jungle, particularly when the therapy hurts. Dr. Williams said he had milked snakes in Ecuador and carried the venoms back with him for further research. The next step, he said, he and other researchers at Michigan State University plan to find an animal suitable for use in study of electroshock therapy and venoms. They hope to determine the correct dose of electricity to learn why jolts work and to find out what current does when it passes through the body. I want reasonable scientific explanation, Dr. Williams said. All right, so that's really interesting. This was published again in the New York Times. And that was the first thing that was out there publicly that I've seen about basically, you know, this is leading science. People are actually getting cured from this. We don't understand it. And that really got my head spinning. I was like, oh, my gosh. So there really is something to this. Then I read other articles and basically – some people, well, a lot of people are saying to use basically a stun gun. And I have a stun gun, and I don't want to use it on myself for some odd reason. So I decided that I would use something else. I have what's called a TENS unit, T-E-N-S. And TENS unit is a wonderful little device that basically it's a battery-operated box that you can control electrical currents from, and it's got little lead lines that come out of it, and you put at the end of the lead lines electrodes. Those stick on your skin, and it delivers just this nice, soothing amount of electricity. And what it does, amazingly enough, is it kills pain. So, you know, here I got into a car accident December 5th of last year, and I've been in a tremendous amount of pain since the accident. And it's been so helpful for me to have one of these TENS devices. I just put the little electrodes on my back whenever I'm feeling pain and turn it on for a little while, and the pain seems to just go away, or at least it's masked for a period of time. So there's been some days I've worn it all day. So I have this little device, and it has control settings on it in which you can deliver, you know, a light amount of electricity where it's just really comfortable and just feels good. Or if you need more intense therapy, you can turn it up. And so for my spider bite, I wanted to deliver an intense amount of electricity because, of course, I'm competing with trying to do a similar thing as a stun gun. So what I did is I put a little aloe vera directly on the wound just to direct the electricity to it. And I put the little electrode on, and then I turned it up about halfway. It's hard to go from nothing into all the highest setting. It's too intense. But I found that if you go about halfway, or, you know, go as far as you can take it, and then give it a minute or two for your body to adjust to that feeling, then you can progressively turn it up. So I turned it up as far as I could and let it sit for about 20 minutes. So when I finally took it off, originally the bite looked a lot like the picture that I've used for the promo. It was red. It was inflamed, almost like an inch high. It was starting to have that kind of a white little cap at the top, and it was almost looking like blisters were forming around it. So it was pretty scary. And after using this TENS product, it actually, the blisters went away, the little seeping wound at the end of it went away, and the bump went away, like the large red bump. It kind of flattened out, and then it was like a little pimple then, surrounded by a bruise. And that was just my first treatment. So, super exciting, you guys. I went from having a wound that looks just like this picture that I showed you guys. And if you look at brown recluse bites, they're scary. Like, people lose their arms, lose their legs, lose their fingers. And it takes like 6 months to heal. I'm on day 4 right now, and my wound is pretty much gone. I've got a little bump, a little bit of capillaries that are broken, and maybe like an inch by inch and a half patch of area. But it's good, you know. I had a little bit of toxins in my body because I didn't do the electric treatment right away. So for the first, you know, couple days, 3 days, I definitely felt a little bit nauseous, definitely tired, and what was the other symptom? Oh, a headache. Like, it felt like it was in my jaw, like this tension. It was terrible. Ugh. And so it was pretty serious, guys. And, you know, like I said, within one treatment, the swelling went away. The symptoms didn't get any worse. It's like, just like that article, once you've applied the electricity, the symptoms no longer get worse. It basically inactivates the venom. So I posted some things about this because I was trying to figure out how it worked too. And so I posted some of my research. Let me go through this with you. So essentially, I already knew that this had been used, you know, all for a long, long time. In 1986, New York Times wrote about it. And I knew that they didn't really understand why it worked. So I decided to study venom look like, you know. What is it that venom looks like structurally, and what would what effect would that have, you know, with electricity? So I found, this is really interesting. For many who study the chemistry of venoms, the neurotoxins hold particular interest. One example would be the polypeptide toxin cobrotoxin, that was isolated from the Formosan cobra and analyzed in 1965 by Chen Cheng Yang, a distinguished chair professor at Tsinghua University in Taiwan. Nice, all these words. The primary structure of the neurotoxin is indicated in Figure 1, along with some components of the secondary structure. There are 62 residues in the primary structure and 4 disulfide bonds. That's what's important. Disulfide bonds in the secondary structure. If even one of these disulfide bonds is somehow disrupted, the polypeptide is rendered non-toxic. This points to the fact that the secondary structure is important even in small polypeptides, not only full-size proteins. So the secondary structure has disulfide bonds. If even one of these disulfide bonds is somehow disrupted, well, you could disrupt it with electricity, for example, then the whole thing is rendered non-toxic. And that was on chemistryexplained.com. I've got the post in the promo. Another thing I read is disulfide bonds are, at this point I'm researching disulfide bonds, are strong with a typical bond dissociation energy of 60 kcal/mol. However, being about 40% weaker than C-C and C-H bonds, the disulfide bond is often the weak link in many molecules. Furthermore, reflecting the polarizability of divalent sulfur, the SS bond is susceptible to scission by polar reagents such as electrophiles and especially nucleophiles. So, in essence, it's saying, yeah, it's got a little bit of strength to it, but it's 40% weaker than the rest of the unit, and it's the weak link in many molecules. So, again, if it's true that the disulfide bonds are the weak link in the structure of toxins, and that if one, even one of those bonds is broken, it's rendered, inert, then that's your answer. The electricity potentially is changing the bonds to make the toxin inert. Now, I also found it interesting that, you know, here in 1986, you get this story out there that says, hey, you know, this is exciting. We can treat venoms with electroshock therapy, venom bites, and it's working. Whee! Howdy doody. This is exciting. This is new science. This is something we're going to study. Then all of a sudden, you don't hear anything. You know, in fact, I went on one site and it said, oh, no. There's been some scientific studies that said that it doesn't work. Well, this goes back to the same thing. There's been scientific studies there's been scientific studies proving things that should not be proved and disproving things that should be proved, because sometimes you get basically large organizations who, I'm sorry, my dog's going a little crazy. I apologize. Okay. Sometimes these scientists get bought out and or threatened, right? We've seen this before. We've seen it in other things. So it's my personal belief that there's been some disinfo that's been spread and bad reports that's been spread. You know, based on my own personal experience, I didn't want to do the show until I've had, you know, at least 4 days behind me. And if you look at my wound now, I'll actually post a picture in the promo. It's completely flat. Let's see. Well, it's almost like a teeny little pimple, you know, where the bite was done now. And then the area surrounding it is, it just looks like a bunch of broken capillaries. So it's basically like a bruise right now. And this is in an area that doesn't have a lot of circulation. Your ankle, a lot of people who get an ankle bite, they can lose their foot pretty easily. So pretty amazing. Let's see if I've got anybody calling in here. Well, if you want to call in, please call in the studio at 347-855-8301, 347-855-8301. So, anyway, it is pretty amazing. So I read to you about the disulfide bonds, which is what I personally believe is the reason it works. Now, electricity is amazing anyway, all right? Electricity, when you wear a TENS unit, like I said, on your back, you've got back pain. For whatever reason, it not only does it give you relief at that moment, but it's lasting, you know, 3-4 hours sometimes, even longer, that you won't have any pain in an area that you had chronic pain before. They've even found that the TENS units work for cancer patients, helping them with their pain. So it's a wonderful little tool. Now, in addition to that, there are things like Rife technology where you can destroy cancer by certain frequencies. I posted an article about that. And I also posted an article from The Guardian that healing power of electricity raises hope for new treatments. That's pretty amazing as well. So electricity is, you know, basically increases circulation to areas, and it speeds up the wound healing by 50%. Anyway, that's pretty phenomenal. So scientists are, you know, looking at that as well. What we're looking at is, you know, why aren't we hearing more about this? Why aren't our hospitals using this sort of stuff? I didn't post this article yet, but there's this guy who came up with a basically like a TENS unit, the electrodes that he made into a skull cap to wear on your head if you've got a tumor in your brain that's inoperable for cancer. And I guess this thing works. Like, you're supposed to wear it 24/7, so you're constantly zapping. You're putting that energy field into your brain. Well, I guess what happens is, when cancer tries to multiply, which it does constantly, it splits apart and becomes weak. And once it becomes weak, you've got that energy current going through it. Then it actually destroys the cell. So that's how it works. So again, this is like the TENS unit that I used. I used the TENS unit on my bite. I put it on my bite for about 20 minutes each time, and then I probably did it I don't know, 2 or 3 times a day for a couple days. And now, I mean, it's pretty much healed. You know, I don't think I have to do anything else. Whatever venoms were in there did enough damage to break some capillaries and create a little bruise and leave a sore, tender bump. But it's not bad. This is a brown recluse bite. I should have been in the hospital 4th day. Should have been in the hospital. And I didn't. All I did was take a little electrode from a TENS unit, put it on there, put a little bit of aloe on it first to kind of direct some of the energy directly to the wound. And I put it on as high as I could tolerate for about 20 minutes. Folks, it worked. I'm not in the hospital. I'm not in any danger of losing my limb, or it's not even spreading. I'm not feeling worse. I'm feeling better. I'm feeling stronger. And it really wasn't that painful. You know, it's just kind of like, how do you describe it? I'm trying to think of how to describe it. But basically, yeah, this is a bad analogy. You know, when you know those beds that you used to put a quarter in and they vibrate the bed and it's like this really strong vibration or whatever. It's kind of like that. It's just kind of tingles. It's got a little bit of pain associated with it at the higher levels. However, it's not bad. It's tolerable. Like I said, you can ease your way up until your body adjusts to each level. And I think what it's doing is it's breaking apart the structure of the poison and rendering it inert. All the research I found said use a stun gun. I didn't even have to use a stun gun. To me, I would rather use a TENS unit at a high, you know, voltage than to zap myself with a stun gun. I just didn't want to do that. That just didn't sound good to me. So thank God that this worked, and I want to spread the news. If you get a bee sting or a wasp sting or ants or, you know, spiders and snakes and scorpions, whatever, run inside, get your TENS unit right away and put it on there right away and put it as high as you can tolerate. Leave it on, you know, for a while. You know, let the electricity break apart the bonds of the venom. And you'll probably, you know, I was reading one article where somebody said that they normally are allergic to bee stings, but by using, they use the stun gun method, but by using electricity immediately after being bit, they never had to use the epinephrine pen. They never had to go to the hospital because you're not giving the venom time to go into your bloodstream. You're just right away, you're zapping it. And I guess it's weak to electricity. That's its weakness. That's amazing. You know, there's two sides of this. I mean, one side, I'm super excited. This is amazing news. I've basically been healed from something that could have taken my leg, you know, and caused me a lot of pain, a lot of suffering for 6 months. And that's exciting, and I want to spread the news. However, I'm also ticked that our establishment is that dirty that they'd rather sell their anti-venoms and trips to the hospital than to allow people to be healed. I mean, why is it that this information is being suppressed? Why is it that the FDA won't allow stun guns to advertise, you know, that as a way that as an option for healing? It's more government control and government corruption and greed. Has to do with the pharmaceutical companies and the government, which, by the way, you know, if you've been listening to our shows at all, you probably figured out that the government, it's not just that they're in bed with the corporations, they actually own controlling interest of most of the Fortune 500 companies out there. That's right, they own it. So what's happening is, in the CAFRs, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports, they're notating a budget, and then the rest of their money goes towards, you know, basically the CAFRs is just saying, oh, this is our profitability this year. And they'll say, oh, it's only 500 or 5,000 millions. Oh, okay, you mean, you know, 5 billion or 50 billion, whatever it is. So the CAFRs are showing that the government is not broke. In fact, there's enough money to pay off all the debt. All the national debt, all of it's there. They've got it. They don't even need to tax anymore. They've got so much money in their CAFRs that it's literally self-sustaining. And meanwhile, they're buying up controlling interests of these corporations. And people wonder why, you know, there's a revolving door at Monsanto and all these other large corporations. And how is it that our government could do these things? Well, because they have controlling interest, and it's a money-making venture to them, and they have to protect their bottom line. So is it right? No. Should it be illegal? Yeah. Well, if you believe in laws. So anyway, exciting news. Again, I have a brown recluse spider bite on my right ankle, and it was rendered inert by putting a TENS unit on it within, I don't know, let's see, I'm going to say the first thing I did is a honey and charcoal paste, and I left that on for several hours. So I probably didn't put the TENS unit on till maybe, I don't know, maybe 4 hours after the bite had occurred, something along those lines. You know, there was an opportunity for some of the venom to get in my system for sure. And because of that, I did have some symptoms. But knowing what you know, what I've taught you, that you can reduce the swelling, that, you know, basically you don't have to suffer. Your skin doesn't have to rot away. You don't have to be deathly sick. You have to go to the hospital and get an IV put in and blah, blah, blah. You know, you can buy a little $50 TENS unit and just zap it. And that TENS unit is amazing anyways. Like I said, you run it 24/7 over a tumor. When that tumor tries to multiply, the electricity will kill the cells trying to multiply. If you've got back pain, you can use it for that. If you've got skin problems, if you need circulation in any area, maybe cellulite even. I mean, there's so many things that you could do with electricity. It's amazing. But start trusting yourself and, you know, trusting, some of the things that you'll see in the natural cure websites. Try these things out. I mean, I have. It's changed my life. Switching to purified water and organic foods and food-based vitamins and everything else made a tremendous impact on my life. And the biggest reason that I've had some health problems is because, of course, I was vaccinated as a child, which is a factor. I have a mouthful of cavities that have been filled with the silver amalgam fillings. I think I've got 6 right now. So, you know, that's a toxic load of mercury every single day. So you've got the immune compromisation of the vaccines, and then you've got the immune compromising of the amalgam fillings. And, you know, that kind of right there, it puts you at the tipping point.
Then if you're eating GMO foods and microwaving and, you know, doing all this other stuff, yeah, you're going to be sick. It's going to come out some kind of way, some kind of disease, either, you know, maybe it's something light like allergies, or maybe you have, you know, some other form of disease. But your body can only take so much before it starts breaking down. Well, I used to get sick a lot. And when I switched my diet and everything else, I found that when I was sick, I wasn't as sick. It's literally maybe 10%, 15%, 20% at the most of how I felt when I used to get sick before I changed my diet. Yeah, it made that much of a difference. My allergies have been cured. I had arthritis that went away. I mean, there were so many things that happened to me that changed my life just by changing my diet. And so I'm very, very grateful and thankful for that. And hopefully, you know, you'll try it as well. It does make a difference. Everything you do, every little thing makes a big impact. So, you know, stop ordering fast food. Don't even get me started on that. You don't know where they're sourcing that food, okay? And there's chemicals, everything's cheap. It's, yeah, bad news bears. Avoid that. Avoid microwaving at all costs. I wouldn't even have a microwave in the house. You know, if you're too lazy to heat something up and take the time to properly do it on the stove, then eat it cold. I mean, that should be your punishment. Either A, eat it cold, or B, take the time to prepare it the way that you want it. You can also get like a, a convection oven, you know, just a small little oven. Those are great because they heat up almost as fast as a microwave, and it's all natural. So clean up the water. Distilled water is the best if you can do it. And, you know, just little things. Have essential oils around your house. I recommend doTERRA. That's the brand that I use because it's very, 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 very pure. And have a TENS unit on standby. Not only does it help with pain, it helps speed healing on wounds. It helps, you know, shrink tumors. It helps, obviously, reverse the effects of venom. So there are so many things that this does for you. I highly recommend it. So let's see what time it is. 7:48. I think I'm going to go ahead and go to commercials real quick. If you want to call in, it's 347-855-8301.
Hi, this is David Bozell, Vice President of Crystal Pure CBD. Have you been trying to get CBD, but you just don't like what's available? Sure, lots of people can get CBD, but most people don't realize that it's only 15% CBD and 85% black stuff. Why the black stuff? We don't know either. We'd like to introduce Crystal Pure CBD, made with 99.99% pure cannabidiol. That's pure CBD, just like sugar. We mix it with hemp seed oil and make some of the best stuff on earth. Crystal Pure CBD.
Hey folks, this is The Mouth, and if you need something moved, you need to go through Dadco Transportation. Family-owned and operated, Dadco Transportation specializes in pad wrap fixtures to retail stores throughout the country, as well as furniture transportation, pad trap and box furniture from California to Arizona to all points east. Be it truckload, LTL, rollout, exclusive use, or expedited, Dadco is here to service their clients safely, efficiently, and quickly. So if you need something moved within the continental U.S., contact Dadco Transportation at 609-296-9121 or contact them directly at dadcotrans.com. That's dadcotrans.com. But I could never make believe it's all right. 6 days on the road.
and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
Life, family, and assets can be stolen from you while you are the one paying for it. Join me, Debbie Carroll, at the fourth branch, The Truth Emerges, on Blog Talk Radio, Thursday nights from 6 to 8 Pacific Time. We need everyone on board to understand what is happening and put a stop to this evil corruption.
You're listening to Guerrilla Radio with Austin Thomas and Liberty Lisa. Join the second hour by calling 1-347-855-8301. You're listening to The Truth Train with Liberty Lisa. Join the second hour by calling 1-347-855-8301.
I have a few questions for my colleagues. What if our foreign policy of the past century is deeply flawed and has not served our national security interests? What if we wake up one day and realize that the terrorist threat is a predictable consequence of our meddling in the affairs of others and has nothing to do with us being free and prosperous? What if propping up repressive regimes in the Middle East endangers both the United States and Israel? What if occupying countries like Iraq and Afghanistan and bombing Pakistan is directly related to the hatred directed toward us? What if someday it dawns on us that losing over 5,000 American military personnel in the Middle East since 9/11 is not a fair trade-off for the loss of nearly 3,000 American citizens, no matter how many Iraqi, Pakistani, and Afghan people are killed or displaced? What if we finally decide that torture, even if called enhanced interrogation technique, is self-destructive and produces no useful information, and that contracting it out to a third world nation is just as evil? What if it is finally realized that war and military spending is always destructive to the economy? What if all wartime spending is paid for through the deceitful and evil process of inflating and borrowing? What if we finally see that wartime conditions always undermine personal liberty? What if conservatives who preach small government wake up and realize that our interventionist foreign policy provides the greatest incentive to expand the government? What if conservatives understood once again that their only logical position is to reject military intervention in managing an empire throughout the world? What if the American people woke up and understood that the official reasons for going to war are almost always based on lies and promoted by war propaganda in order to serve special interests? What if we as a nation came to realize that the quest for empire eventually destroys all great nations? What if Obama has no intention of leaving Iraq? What if a military draft is being planned for the war that will spread if our foreign policy is not changed? What if the American people learn the truth, that our foreign policy has nothing to do with national security, that it never changes from one administration to the next? What if war and preparation for war is a racket serving the special interests? What if President Obama is completely wrong about Afghanistan and turns out worse than Iraq and Vietnam put together? What if diplomacy is found to be superior to bombs and bribes in protecting America? What happens if my concerns are completely unfounded? Nothing. But what happens if my concerns are justified and ignored? Nothing good.
When we were colonists and were governed by the British King and Parliament, they devised ingenious means to tax us. One of the most hateful was the Stamp Act. It required that every person in the colonies buy a stamp that bore the image of the king and affix that stamp to every piece of paper in his possession. Question: how did the king know if every colonist was complying with the Stamp Act? Answer: the Townshend Act. This abominable law authorized British soldiers to write their own search warrants. Thus, British soldiers knocked on the doors of the colonists' homes and handed them warrants in which they had authorized themselves to enter, ostensibly to look for the stamps. They entered wherever they wanted, and they took whatever they wished. The colonists were so outraged at these self-written search warrants that Parliament actually rescinded the laws that permitted them. But the offenses to personal dignity and the assaults on private property were too deep. We fought a bloody revolution against the government that did this to us. After we won that revolution, we wrote a constitution to assure that these abuses would not happen again. And to that constitution, we added a Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights guaranteed that the government could not on its own assault your natural rights. Among them, that quintessentially American right, the right to be left alone. Today we call this right the right to privacy. The Fourth Amendment requires that the government, before the government can assault your right to privacy and search your possessions, come onto your property, listen to your phone calls, read your mail, monitor your keystrokes on your computer, or even obtain records about you from other sources like doctors, banks, or lawyers, it must present evidence of criminal behavior on your part under oath to a judge. And only if the judge accepts that evidence, and only if the judge issues a search warrant, may the government legally seek and seize whatever is specifically described in the warrant. No more government knocking on doors in the middle of the night and taking whatever it wished. Regrettably, the federal government has labored mightily to get around all this. Even though every person who works for the government has taken an oath to uphold the Constitution, many of them seem to spend more time avoiding and evading it. In the days after 9/11, Congress enacted the Patriot Act, an abominable piece of legislation which permits federal agents to write their own search warrants. With the Patriot Act, we have come full circle from the days in which a king unleashed soldiers upon us on their own to the present day in which our elected representatives have unleashed federal agents upon us on their own, all in utter disregard for our natural right to be left alone and the constitutional requirements of a judicially issued search warrant. The Patriot Act, perpetrated by a Republican president and Congress, was and is one of the gravest legislative assaults on human freedom. It was harshly criticized at the time by a young Democratic senator from Illinois named Barack Obama. But freedom must look very different from inside the White House than from outside. This morning we learned from the front page of the Wall Street Journal that the Obama Justice Department, without obtaining search warrants, has been using a computer program called Stingray, which manipulates your cell phone to enable the government to follow you whenever the phone is with you. And last month, the Obama Justice Department told the Supreme Court that it has been installing GPS systems on the cars of those without cell phones so it can follow them. And last spring, the Obama Justice Department persuaded the court to let cops break down doors without a search warrant on the basis of what they think they smell from coming behind the doors. And somehow it claims that the Fourth Amendment is no obstacle to all this. What's going on here? Is this really America in 2011, or is it East Germany in 1961? Would the government prefer to watch all of us, to seize our computer records, to listen to our conversations, to break down our doors whenever it wished, without following the Constitution? Yes, it would. Power by nature expands. That's why we have a Constitution, to restrain governmental power. Who would want to live in a society where the government was unrestrained? Have we fought wars against totalitarian governments only to find that we have elected one here at home? Did you even know that the federal government may be using your cell phone to follow you wherever you go? Have we become a nation of sheep? Sadly, the answers to these questions are obvious.
Free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty, we are free at last!
Einstein, she's already ready to rally against the guns.
Well, you're set up for failure, but it doesn't mean you have to fail.
disarmed our nation is ready for tyranny. What about the over 2 million crimes that were prevented by people being armed? This is a representative republic. Democracy is frickin' mob rules. That's what true democracy is. It's mob rules.
It's just like a matter of, you know, you got to be careful of who you listen to and whose input you take. And it's all fun and games.
One and only original Gorilla Radio with Austin Thomas and Liberty Lisa. Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on the Truth Emerges Radio Network.
You took an oath to uphold the Constitution, not to uphold gangster banksters and a bunch of tyrannous political puppets.
It has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
You're listening to The Truth Train with Liberty Lisa. Join the second hour by calling 1-347-855-8301.
We've had a good show. Basically, you know, I'm actually sitting here while I'm talking with my TENS unit going. I have a little, of course, the bite on one ankle just to be sure, you know, I'm putting on there. Remember, electricity speeds healing, so it can't hurt anything. It's just going to bring a little more circulation to the area and speed healing. And then on the other electrode, it's kind of like you got to have a negative and a positive and have a closed circuit. So there's two electrodes you have to use. So, you know, I'll put the other one somewhere where, you know, maybe I have a little bit of pain or something like that. But I've got this, you ever have like where you kind of sit down wrong and it pulls a little tendon in your knee? Not a big thing, but just hurts a little bit. I put the other one on my knee, kind of where that tendon is right now. It feels so good. Buy a TENS unit, TENS. Seriously. Now, there's different settings you can put your TENS unit on. I would suggest going to a physical therapist and just asking them, hey, can you help me, you know, put this on the correct setting? And they'll do it for you. Like, it's no big deal. If you do it on factory settings, sometimes it's like too abrupt, you know, you might have it go zap, 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 zap. The way I have mine set up, it's like this, almost this constant little, almost like a vibration, very soothing. Of course, at the highest setting, it's not exactly soothing, but, it's all right. It's not too bad. It's a lot better than going to a hospital, and it's a hell of a lot better than the stun gun, if you ask me. Although, I was going to go ahead and break down and use a stun gun if I had to. If it didn't look like the TENS unit was working, I was definitely going to use a stun gun. So I had my stun gun ready. Again, I just didn't want to. I didn't want to go through the pain and the shock associated with the stun gun. It just didn't sound too fun to me. So I thought, well, let me try the TENS unit at a very, very high level. At least I can tolerate that, and hopefully that'll have the same effect. And it seems to have worked perfectly. Like I said, first time I put one of these patches on, left it on like 20 minutes, the electrode, at a high level, I took it off and the swelling was almost gone. Like the surrounding area
went down incredibly. I couldn't even believe it, actually. The way that I know it actually is a brown recluse is the very first day the symptoms that I had matched those of a brown recluse, being tired, being kind of achy, being having a headache, and, you know, I had all those symptoms, a little bit nauseous, and then the swelling and the itching and the pain and the picture, just like the picture I used for the promo, it looked just like that. Crazy. And it's just fabulous. Now I used my little electrode and zapped it, and the swelling went way, way down. In fact, let's see here. I'm going to post an updated picture. Hold on. All right, let me get back to my page. So, yeah, you know, electricity. It'll increase circulation to an area, and it's my personal belief that poisons have a weak bond, and that it's not just based on belief, but according to the research I've done, that they have, I think it was like the disulfur bonds are weak. And that if one of them, even one of them, is broken, then the entire poison is rendered ineffective. So that's why it works, folks. You know, it's basically going in at a molecular level and messing up what poison normally does. It's breaking it apart, making it inert. It's great for the pain. Like it's basically, you know, those poisons, once they get in your body, let's say a brown recluse bite, it's literally eating away your flesh, eating away your muscle. You know, it's horrible, bad news. And once you've done the electricity, it renders the poison inert. So from that point on, it's not going to do further damage, you know. So from that point on, it won't do further damage. And that's exactly what I found with my case. You know, the first day was the most harsh, and then the moment I put on my TENS unit, the swelling went way, way down, and the pain stopped, the itchiness had stopped, it just had a great, great effect. So I want to spread the news. You know, heck, think about all the people out there that are losing limbs and going through suffering for months, literally sometimes 6 months, just trying to get cured from something like that. And you don't have to, you know, just shock it, you know, use a zapper, use whatever you've got to use. I recommend the TENS unit. It's a lot more genteel of an effort. But yeah, it's a big deal. So like I said, the TENS unit, you can also use it for, pain management. It's amazing for that. You can use it, for curing cancer, because if you put it directly on a tumor, you have to do it for like 24 hours a day. You know, you have to leave it on there. But when the cancer cells try to proliferate, they try to expand and grow and break apart and grow, the electricity just basically kills them. And so that's been known to work. There's a guy that actually has a cap that's FDA, a skull cap that's FDA approved, and the skull cap has basically these electrodes in it, and you're supposed to leave it on your brain all day long, go to work, you know, and it cures your brain tumors. And it works. Like, they're charging $10,000 a month to insurance companies, when you could just buy a little $80 TENS unit and four electrodes and make it into a skull cap and wear it around all day, literally. I mean, it's the same thing. I posted something about wounds being healed quicker, 50% quicker on healing of wounds when you put these on here. Why? It's bringing circulation. Scars, you could, if you want a scar to be healed sooner, cellulite, you know, you want to get some circulation to that area. There's so many things that you could use a TENS unit for. Electricity is awesome. Let's see if there's, well, you know what? I think I'm going to go ahead and end the show a little bit early today. Haven't had a bunch of callers, but again, that's my own fault. I didn't realize I was going to be doing a show today until last minute, so I didn't get to promote like I normally do, but I wanted to get this information out there. Electricity people, buy yourself a TENS unit, buy yourself some essential oils, get on an organic diet, take care of yourself and your family. Don't trust, you know, blindly trust the FDA. Don't blindly trust the government. You know, don't blindly trust these pharmaceuticals. Take control of your health. Take control of your body and take control of your education. There are answers out there that you never knew about. Why go in to a hospital for months and months of treatment while your skin rots away when you can just zap it? That's why I'm here tonight. Let you guys know. All right. Thank you so much for joining the Truth Train. Bye.